We have a special theme for you this Friday, but I'm not going to tell you for a few minutes. Let's talk markets. The propensity of the S&P 500 index futures to make a new all-time high on a Friday. Well, we already did that. The question is, will we make a new all-time closing high? Jobs data will probably determine that. Mixed bag of earnings out there. Mee Schneider, 8:35. This is the place you need to be at 8 a.m. or 8:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
Okay, team, in the red here, 5.25, 6.5 handles, 51, 55 and a half. We were doing okay until y'all did something at 6:30. We haven't figured that out. Buck flat at 102.76. Bonds up just less than a half a point, 122 and 2/32. Crude oil, man, we just don't talk crude much. Crude down 52 cents at 78.39. Gold moving towards 2200, up 740 at 2172.60. Silver following suit, up 13 cents at 24.17. Quite the laggard. Bitcoin quiet, consolidating here, up near the high of the move, down $120 on the futures. It's 68,245, and I said we had a theme for this Friday, and we will now introduce that theme. What?
It's Tropical Friday. Tropical Friday. I got some nice hair going, too, today for the Tropical Friday.
Tropical
now, my
Friday,
kids came in and informed me. I had a different shirt on. My kids came in and informed me that it's Tropical Friday at school today, and I have to wear a tropical shirt here for the show. So they threw this shirt at me, so I just put it on for you 5 minutes ago. So here we go. Tropical Friday. Let's go.
Where's your do you have your hula skirt on?
No, I have my PJs on. You don't want to see those. I'm like, yeah, what was it? Mark Haynes. Remember Mark Haynes all those years anchoring CNBC and he went this, you know, the suit and tie on the top and jogging pants. He wore jogging pants on the bottom because he never saw his legs. He was just sitting there and he wanted to be comfortable. Mark Haynes was awesome. I miss Mark Haynes.
And what about Adam Aaron?
I don't know. What about Adam Aaron? Tell me.
You don't remember what happened with him during one of the conference calls?
No. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. What did he have on? He had no
his
pants
underwear.
At all.
His underwear.
He was in his underwear. Was he really in his underwear?
Was he really? Am I making this up?
No, I think you're right.
You're not making that up. That's what happened. He was on a Zoom call or whatever, and he like went to adjust his camera or something, and you could just see he was wearing a jacket up top and then just boxers or underwear on the bottom. I mean, it was
okay. Well, that's ridiculous, but I would pull it off. I mean, you know, I just wouldn't grab the camera and like show it though. So Adam Aaron's a character, folks. We love you, Adam Aaron, even if you don't like Benzinga.
I mean, it might be something with the name because you guys don't know. I could be wearing just underwear under this desk right now. You never see.
Maybe
it's an error for that, but who knows? All right, let's move on from the theme on Friday. And Dennis, we were doing okay until 6:30. You didn't get out of bed until 6:40, so you didn't catch the action. Choppy day, jobs number. You know, we got a lot to cover.
Lots, and obviously, buy the dip, still working here on a number of stocks last night. I want to start with the big daddy, AVGO, because this thing was wild, and I mean absolutely wild on the initial print. Give us those numbers, AB, and then Joel's going to break down that after-hours trade action.
Yes, sir. So AVGO, Broadcom reported EPS of $10.99 beat the $10.29 estimate. Sales $11.96 billion beat the $11.76 billion estimate. Guidance of about $50 billion, including contribution from VMware, an increase of 40% from the year period. I saw the CEO said that its AI revenue increased 4x year over year. So to anyone that's still questioning how much the AI is impacting earnings and fundamentals right now. Again, you're talking about a 4x increase in a year, still in the early stages. So, I mean, that's significant, but clearly, you know, the guidance, I mean, maybe the bar was just set a little too high because you're seeing this down about 2% pre-market.
It was way down, though. On the initial number, those algos got really excited, Joel. And I saw this down almost $100. Where did we tick? Do you have the after hours low?
$120 lower.
It was $120 lower. And I only saw the 100 down. I saw it flash 100 down. It was down there for like a split second. So fast. You had to have orders sitting out there, you know, if you really want to get executed. Blew right through the 1300 and obviously traded under $1,300. And then, you know, kind of consolidated, kind of chopped around. It was trading 1315, 1360. And then to Aaron's point, they came out and talked about AI and the revenue increasing four times. And then the stock blasted off. But not only that stock blasted off, you know what else blasted off on that commentary was NVIDIA and SMCI. Because obviously, you know, they're directly benefiting from this AI movement. We get one of the major companies saying, you know, that kind of increase, everybody automatically assumes that's got to be good for NVIDIA and SMCI. Both those stocks, which were trading down on the initial report, started rallying and really didn't look back. I mean, SMCI is up $30 here now still, and NVIDIA is up 32 points here. Sorry, that bad ticks, the FINRA ticks again, up 21 here right now. Ignore all that FINRA crap that's getting dumped on us regulators. Stop the FINRA crap because it's screwing up the quotes. Yeah, but up 22 points here now. So despite the market actually selling off a little bit here today, NVIDIA, SMCI, the party just continues. But AVGO, back to that one here, Joel.
Give us
some thoughts.
Throw out the high. Throw out the low. Let's look at today's action. We're down $40, and I'm just going to go to yesterday's price action. And wow, right now, I mean, if we get above yesterday's low at 1372.89, there's nowhere to go. Perhaps the closing price, that all-time, not all-time high closing price. So minor resistance at the bottom of yesterday's range. If you want out at the all-time closing high, you're going to have to wait for 1407.01. Man, and on the downside here, I'd go out and bet you 10 steak dinners that we don't see the pre-market low. Next support point I would look at would be, 1320 is your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-day low. But once again, these 13, they need to split these, you know, these high price stocks. Very, very hard to do the technicals on them. But that's the best I could do for you.
All right. Well, let's
the
go
other
from,
one. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's go from one chip stock to another. Marvell Technology, ticker MRVL, reported at the close as well. We had EPS came in line at 46 cents. Sales 1.42 billion, beat one, a slight beat on sales, but not much, basically in line there as well. Weak Q1 guidance, though. The company also announced a $3 billion buyback, but again, that guidance, I mean, look, if you're in the chips right now and you're not raising and beating, the market's punishing you because that's the expectation. Yeah. You're supposed to beat and raise if you're in this industry. So if you don't do that, the market's kind of punishing you. But I mean, it's down about 5.7%. So it's not like this thing is getting absolutely clobbered, but there is a slight, you know, pullback today. And it closed up 4.5% yesterday. So it's basically like flat from its price on Wednesday.
And it went right down to the area it broke out from. I actually saw 71. I'm not sure if it went lower than that, Joel. You would have the data on your
70.55.
And look, you know, if you think about that, it was a logical level for it to bounce because that was where the breakout occurred 5 days ago when we broke out through the 70. We had all major resistance and then popped up through there. And again, just buy the dip on chips, AI stocks, technology continues to work. In some cases, you know, those bounces are short-lived. I know Snowflake, you can point that one out. It has continued lower since the earnings print, but there's been a lot of other ones that obviously bottomed on the days of the earnings and, you know, haven't looked back, although Palo Alto's leaking there too. I wonder if Nancy got out of her calls. I'm thinking Marvell has seen the low of the day as well here, Joel. I don't think we're getting back down to $70.50 unless this jobs number is the worst jobs number in the history of jobs numbers. 70.50 seems
safe. What would
safe.
That be? Would that be, what would be bad?
Because higher, more,
bad, it would
more?
Be good. right?
It's only good.
Yeah, explain that to me. What would be a bad jobs number? Would it be...
Well, if the jobs are too hot, like meaning that, you know, we're looking, cooking. Well, maybe. I think if it's too... I honestly think they want it light. I think the market wants it light because we want to know that Powell is going to have no excuses in 2 or 3 months to start lowering rates. We don't want any data coming in that could indicate that jobs are too hot, inflation's going to start to pick up. So I think they want a light number, to be honest with you.
But not That's too light.
Well, if you're too light, then they're like, oh my gosh, the recession is here. So you just got to be just right. It's like the three bears, you know, right. Porridge too hot, porridge too cold. No, you want to eat the porridge. It's just right. So we want the jobs number just right. Not too hot, not too cold. Just right.
Otherwise, the big bad wolf will be coming and blowing the market down. All right, that's a different story.
Oh my gosh!
Your mom read you a fairy tale or the fucks when you were a kid.
So it was Karate Kid yesterday, and now is the three little bears and the three little pigs.
And on Tropical Friday, yes.
On Tropical Friday, yeah. Friday, yes. We may take Monday off. I just want to say that if it's a really hot number, doesn't that mean the economy is so strong? People have jobs, are out there spending money, and it's just rah, rah, rah.
Well, the thing, so Joel, what I'll say, and is I'm not, you know, an expert economist, but like Dennis's point, if it's too hot, people start getting worried about inflation again. But the other data point we'll get at 8:30 is wage growth. And wage growth can actually be a stronger indicator of that. Like if the wage growth is too hot, then a lot of economists look at that as a sign that inflation is picking back up. But I'm kind of with you. Like if we add more jobs than expected, I don't really see that as a bad thing. And if the market dips on that, then I'm willing to buy it because I think that's a sign that the economy is still holding up better than virtually like every single economist person expected over the last 2 years. I mean, the recession was a foregone conclusion. Like it wasn't a matter of, are we going to have, huh?
Not here.
Well, I wasn't on the show yet, so I wasn't listening to y'all, but the people that were knew. But if you listen to CNBC or if you were reading the Wall Street Journal or whatever, you know, you go back a couple of years ago, it wasn't a matter of, are we going to get a recession? It was just, how bad is it going to be and how long is it going to be? And then we never got it at all. So, I mean, the market or the economy has just been kind of defying expectations here. And we'll definitely, you know, we'll see at 8:30 what those job numbers are like. And I expect the market to be pretty volatile on it. But yeah, we'll see. All right. We'll keep the earnings train going. Costco reported after the close yesterday. Let me go ahead and get those numbers pulled up. Getting a little beat up here, down more than 4%. You had Q2. Why is it Q2? It's interesting. Some companies do that. Yeah, some companies do it. It's weird. EPS came in at $3.92, beat the $3.61 estimate. Total revenue missed expectations, $58.44 billion versus $59.1 billion estimates. That revenue miss right there. Market's kind of beating it up on that. They did talk about a positive long-term outlook. Either way, I mean, Costco was at all-time highs, now trading down about 4%.
Can't miss revenue when you trade 50 times earnings. Current PE on Costco is 53. Forward, it's 50. I mean, this is not an AI company. This is still just a place where we shop, but it's always carried a PE above 40. It's just been there. It's like the Amazon continues to just grow in that multiple, and the multiple's always expensive because the company grows sales. But with that being said, when you're missing revenues, that is concerning. Stock getting hit, and it should get hit when they miss revenues. It's down 32. The one thing you have in Costco, it always seems like, is underneath demand. I would think 750 are right here right now. Like, let's see what it does there. There's this little three tops taking Joel's job away from him a little bit there.
That's okay.
Maybe it's a level. It's a like psychological level there too. I just don't think they hammer Costco down 80 or 90 points just because it's Costco.
Dennis, explain the shirt. Some people are getting in late today.
Oh, they're getting mad at the shirt. Do you want me to change the shirt?
No,
I already did. I explained off the bat. My kids have Tropical Friday at their school today. And I had a different shirt on. in my normal t-shirt, but they threw this shirt at me and told me I have to wear it. And I do what my kids tell me to do.
I just put this comment up because Easy Mike made a very astute observation. He's a very smart guy and called it on the reason behind the shirt. So Easy Mike, that's a great call.
I like the shirt.
If you've got
it's
any
colorful.
If you've got any
fun.
Market calls for it us, Easy Mike.
I wish you would have gave me more time. I could have went back home and I am home. Go back and change your shirt. One thing, Aaron, I'm getting some messages. Messages here that on Twitter they were on Benzinga Crypto and we're not on regular Benzinga, so there's a lot of people on Twitter. I don't know if you can adjust that on the fly, but we have a lot of unhappy people on Twitter.
Maybe
right
we got to do a crypto show then today. I'll talk Bitcoin. Hodling. Yeah, hodling. Sorry.
Okay.
We digress once again. I don't even remember what stock we were talking about.
We're talking about Costco.
Oh, Costco.
You said Costco. 750. I mean, it's not a bad area. The reason you like that, old resistance, new support. Yeah, I'd see that. Next daily low, if you lose that, if you lose the 750 area, next daily low, 739 and a quarter. And making a new all-time high and all-time closing high yesterday. If you sniff the bottom of yesterday's range at 77701, you may want to take a look at it. All-time closing high price from yesterday. Don't think we'll see that. 785.59. Street leaning the wrong way into the report. So, boom, you're going to see some sellers out there today. I haven't been there. I think we're going to Costco this weekend. We need to load up on the crab legs, shrimp, and lobster tails. Oh, new
and
thing.
And the $1.50 hot dogs.
Oh, but listen to this, man. Do you guys like swordfish?
I don't know if I've ever had swordfish.
You've never eaten swordfish?
Never.
Isn't it a little bit more like meaty than normal fish? No? Okay.
I don't know. I'm telling you, you could get two pieces like this for like $35. I'm telling you, it's like, well, it's, I can't even eat one of the pieces. We basically get two meals. And I maybe get a couple lunches out of it for $38. And then Lisa's like, why don't you get the swordfish instead of getting those lobster tails, which you could get like five huge lobster tails. It's like $110. But I'm telling you, go out there at your Costco.
Swordfish.
You go out there and get that. I'm telling you, delicious.
Joel, if you get some extra food, let me know. I'll make the drive.
We're gonna have you over, AB. I talked to the kitchen help about it. We're gonna get you over here soon.
Okay.
You're gonna trouble for saying that.
Yeah, that's not what I would call it. All right, but anyway.
Next.
Yeah, we'll keep moving on the earnings train. Let's go to DocuSign next. I mean, this is a company that's been, you know, got hot during COVID, was kind of in that Zoom camp. Of taking off during COVID and since then just getting absolutely crushed. When you have a stock like this that has not gotten a bounce really since 2021 or whatever, and the market's at all-time highs, there are clearly some problems going on at the company, but the expectations were low and the market's rewarding it here. Let me get the exact numbers up here. EPS beat, strong guidance. Total revenue came in at EPS came in at 76 cents versus the 64 cents estimate. So that's a pretty significant beat, 10 cents there. Sales came in at $712 million versus $699 million estimate. Again, some guidance above estimates. Stock trading up here, 8%.
Leaking, though. And if you take, and again, I like to look at Zoom in comparison. And when Zoom had its earnings report, it had a good number and popped way up too, and then just leaked and leaked and leaked. And I think this follows suit. The reason, again, this is doing well, making some money. The PE is reasonable here, but the growth is just not what, you know, I think it needs to be. And I also think that it's just like one product. So Zoom, DocuSign, similar to me, the COVID stocks. Yeah, we're going to, you know, just sign all our documents virtually. We're going to do all our meetings virtually. Similar patterns. I'm all about patterns. I'm all about relationships. I put Zoom and DocuSign. Zoom sold off on its. I think DocuSign's already started doing the same. I wouldn't be surprised if it continues to leak.
You got to pop on this one. We talked about this one on the closing print. And the only reason I was looking at it just is because, you know, someone was kicking the tires around it. That's when you had the big move up from 45 to 60, you know, 64 and change. And then the rumors went away. You found good support. So that's why I wouldn't have been shorted in the report if you were long. Congratulations. Got all the way nearly to $63. And there was a pair of highs just under 63. So if you, in fact, you do get back up to that area, real good resistance right near the high of the move. If you want to get something ahead of that, there's really nothing. 62. Yeah, that's near the $63 area. If you're trying to buy this today and people stuck on it, the bottom of yesterday's range is 54.11.
All right. Well, let's get off the earnings train real quick. Another company that had news yesterday, not in the earnings space, Rivian. Rivian announced a new car, had an event. The market liked it too. You got some upgrades or analyst coverage, positive as well. Rivian unveils the R2 SUV starting at around $45,000. I mean, this thing got a big pop, up over 10%. Yesterday closed up 13% actually. And I mean, this came again after the stock was getting just beaten up. You look at the chart, was basically at all time lows. I've been on record on this show saying basically that I think if Rivian can survive this interest rate cycle and we get to the point where we start cutting and it's still around, it's still a company, then I think it could be a buy. But you know, there's obviously some questions about the company's balance sheet and whatnot in the interim.
And they're going to need more cash probably too, because it's still burning significant cash here. I saw, I think it was Jefferies, or I think it was Jefferies
yesterday.
The buy yesterday, and that helped the stock as well, because it was lifting the pre-market off of that and just continued obviously with the car and, you know, with the release, the press release there. Rivian up another 1.8%. I'm not going to chase it here, but would I buy dips? Maybe, you know, you got the 10. Logical spot for it to bottom out was $10, bounced right off of that with the double bottom. So support is well defined here, $10 to $11. I'd love a pullback here to get into this. I think this is only speculative capital, though, because to your point, they're going to need another capital raise here, which is probably going to obviously increase outstanding shares. I think it's just too far from profitability here yet to really, you know, come here and load up.
Craig LeBlanc read my mind, because I remember someone picked it up on the cheap, on the double bottom that it made after the earnings disappointment. He says he got 10.06. If he did, he missed the low of the move by only a penny. Way to go. And what I said is, man, I want to see it get into this gap area. Now that it's over $12, you know, if I was trying to give you resistance, it'd be hard to do. Now, is it going to go right to 15, 18? I don't know about that. That would be a gap fill. Now, what I'd like, now you're well over $12. I was going to say, establish a bid here over $12. You're at 1271. Maybe get a couple days here, a consolidation, and then another move higher. But nice move off the low, nice bottom picking at the old time low. And we'll see. I mean, right now. And the other thing, if you're a little nervous about it and you say, I don't think it's going to fill the gap. Craig, I think you said you were going to forget about it, that you were going to buy this and you were going to look at it in 10 years. But please let me know if that's the truth. Then disregard everything I'm saying. But S&P's rally back mode, choppy, choppy, choppy. Now 9 points off the low. Coming up to the jobs number, why don't we do one more report and then preview the jobs number?
All right, let me figure out where we're going to go. Let's go to Gap, another retail stock. We talked some retail stock this week. Ticker GPS. I've always thought GPS is a strange ticker for Gap, right? You'd think GPS would be some sort of mapping company or whatnot, but I guess they got that early. Gap reported upbeat guidance. That's going to help the stock.
There is no Gap.
No Gap?
No.
Oh, it's
okay,
GPS.
Okay, glad.
Okay. Sales $4.3 billion, beat the $4.2 billion estimate. EPS came in at 49 cents. Stock trading higher this morning, up about 7.5%. So if you were in this stock, you've got enough profits now that you can go to the store and buy a new pair of pants or something.
There you go. And Jim Cramer, again, hot. Kramer's been hot lately. He's bullish this coming in. He was talking it up here. He thinks it's a huge turnaround story. And he helped it last night, too, because it started leaking a little bit there. And then the CEO came on. He gave it the vote of confidence. He even tweeted out afterwards that this turnaround and gap is for real. And stocks started popping on that, too. So, again, Jim Cramer, he's very influential. He always has been. But he's been right a lot lately, too. So, GPS popping up. You got major resistance up there, 22. I think if you're in
that's going to be
where the turning point, like that's where it's going to have trouble. We got a little bit of room from there. Obviously, we're getting the jobs, number of things can change, but so far, so good for Gap shareholders.
Yeah, we looked at this one yesterday, and this one, taking stocks in the report, not taking, to me, the big boys were stepping up here for the last 3 weeks between 1880 and 19. I mean, look at all those lows. The last three lows, actually, last four lows were within 7 cents of each other. So to me, that's a sign of institutional buying. They're loading up. They're confident going into the print. Now, if they're just going to dump it for short-term trade, their target is 21.27. You did exceed that in the after-hours trading, but boom, had all that support. Now you've poked your head over 21 a couple times. Let's see if you get back over 21, hold a 21 bid. Above that, major resistance comes in at 22.08. And who was it? Was another retailer? Oh, Target. I would say, if you want to take one out of the book, Target, after it had a gap and go, it had another good day. Paused yesterday. So let's see what happens.
There's separation happening in retail land. And we know the big department stores, kind of even Macy's, was up, but it was up more because of their takeover. But there's separation happening. Nordstrom continuing to go straight down here. Certain stores, mall-based, Victoria's Secret. Well, Gap is mall-based here too. But we know American Eagle Outfitters, although I had the key reversal yesterday, has been performing okay lately. Abercrombie's been a monster up until yesterday again. Gap's been coming back here too. So you just got certain retail stocks that are doing all right and certain retail stocks that are not doing good at all. It's like pick your retailer and pick them right, because if you're wrong, you're going to get hurt.
All right, we're about 3 minutes away from the jobs report. I'll just give you guys the expectations right here. The forecast is for 198,000 jobs. The previous was 353,000 non-farm payroll. So that's a big decrease. The market's expecting of about 155,000. The unemployment rate is expected to stay steady at 3.7%. U.S. hourly wages are expected to grow by 0.2%. Hourly wages year over year are expected to grow by 4.4%. So again, that's honestly the non-farm payrolls is the biggest one. But I'm going to be watching the hourly or the wage growth, because 4.4% year over year, I mean, that's pretty significant. If that's higher than what the market's expecting, if it's higher than 4.4, that could be a sign that inflation, could be back on the table. And I think are we getting CPI? Yeah, CPI is next Tuesday. So we'll know pretty
Tuesday, Thursday. They're doing that. And I'm bringing Blue on Monday to talk about the numbers. So
nice.
Let's see here. How far away are we? We're less than a minute away.
Yeah. Remember, keep an eye on the TLT there too. I'll just finish with that. I'm going to go high in the background and try to trade this number, because sometimes there's some good movement. If there's crickets, I'll be back soon. If not, I might be gone for a few minutes.
Okay. All right. We got a really good, I want to say a great number, but I think we got a good number on the upside here. Mid-range on the session coincides with that all-time closing price of 61.75. Pair of highs above that 51.70. If we lose that low at 51.50 and a quarter, folks, I really don't know where to go to tell you for support, because just the way we whooshed up yesterday, first number comes in at 51.38. We are now about 10 seconds away here. Where are the algo jumpers? We're looking at the 1 minute chart as we speak right now. February jobs report imminent. The high freak traders already have it. Little hot, man. Little hot? A lot hot?
Little hot.
Not good.
Still waiting on these numbers coming in. Let's see. Non-farm payrolls, 223,000 versus the 198,000 expected.
Hot.
Unemployment rate for February was, this is interesting. The unemployment rate was 3.9% though versus 3.7%. So there was higher unemployment, but also more jobs
more payrolls than expected. So I'm not really sure how that works. I guess that means there were more layoffs than there were jobs added in February. Still waiting on these wage growth numbers to come in. But Joel, what are we? Oh, I mean, looks like
it was hot. It was, and you guys said, well, it's hot, it's going to be bad. But I said, if it's hot, that means it's good. That means the economy is rolling. People have jobs. People are spending money. They're going to go to Costco. So right there, you got the dip. You didn't get to the support area I wanted to. You only got the 51, 51.50. I was hoping for 51.38. Now you're back. You're green on the session. Yesterday's high will be there in about 30 seconds. That was 51.70. We just hit that. Going now for the pre-market high.
Hold
51.74 and a quarter. Do we have a revision?
We have a correction. Non-farm payrolls. 275,000 versus the 198,000. So that beat expectations by a lot, almost like 35% there, we'll call it. Joel, we've talked about this before. I mean, the market, you said, has a tendency to end the week on the highs or the lows. I mean, the way we're trading right now, I mean, it's Friday. You think we're going to hit all-time highs again today?
We already are. We are trading above Friday, above yesterday's high at 51.70.50. I just glanced at the TLT. Let's go to the TLT chart here just for 1 minute, just to see. I'm going to have to change my settings on this. They're holding steady. I mean, you had to have bids out there. Let me go to the session. Did the bonds dip? Bonds dip too, man. And look at that. They bought the dip, the insatiable bid in this market, and boom, right back up. S&Ps now, little word of caution here. The pre-market high before all this craziness was 51.74.50. We just went through it by a buck at 51.75.50. But if you want to say, if you can find some resistance in this market, it must be off a Fibonacci extension or something, because, I mean, why not? Right now, as things talk, a nice psychological round number of 5,200 would fit in the average trading range. But let's see how we digest this information as we move forward.
I was going to say, so, I mean, clearly there's been a bullish bias in the market right now. I mean, the past week, the past year, really. This year, more than 30% of market days, we've seen new all-time highs at some point. I think with this report, you have people that can find a reason to be bullish on either side, right? Because that unemployment number was higher than expected. So if you were looking for cooler data, you can say, okay, well, unemployment jumped up to 3.9. The market was, huh?
How could that happen?
How can the unemployment number be higher, but we added more jobs?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I have no clue. But I'm saying that people that were looking for bad news is good news can say, okay, that's bad news. Unemployment went up higher than expected. That's good for the market. That means we can, Powell's going to be cutting. Inflation's not going to be back. Or like you said, Joel, we added more jobs than it was expected. That's great news for the economy. So I think either way, people can look at it and kind of find a reason to be bullish, which is all that really matters, is that, if people can look at the numbers and be bullish and they start buying, then, I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. We hit the pre-market high. We retracted just a little bit. Not much. We've had a 34 handle range, so that's about 17. So basically, where were we trading? We were trading like right around, I always like to see the mark before the print, and the mark right before the print was 51.56. so far at 8:34 here on this Friday, the street is construing this as good numbers and a stronger economy, higher unemployment, mixed bag there. But right now, the market just is continue to find good news, no matter what government data we get.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people in the chat, I mean, talking about, multiple jobs, the economy is not really that good, fudge numbers, all this stuff. And it's like, look, first of all, the numbers are the numbers. That's all we have. We don't have anything else. So whether they're exactly accurate or not, I don't know. I'm not the one coming up with them, but that's what we have. So that's what we have to trade on. And I mean, any way you want to put it or look at it, the economy is doing well. I'm not going to say it's, oh my God, the best economy of all time. It might be, but the market's at all-time highs. why, I don't know why people are upset about the economy right now. Like, inflation has come down a lot. People are working. Like, you go out on the streets, you go, you want to come downtown today, Joel, on a Friday and hang out with me this afternoon. Everywhere's packed. The restaurants are packed. There's the line, you know, there's waits at all the restaurants. Like, I just don't know what is upsetting to people about this economy.
Are you inviting me? You're taking
people
me
are underinvested. That's why.
I think
people
that's why. I mean, it's because people listen to people that tell them that sell them this doom and gloom outlook that, oh my God, you know, you got to sell everything because the you know, the economy is so bad and the U.S. is losing. And it's like they're just doing it because that's good for them. These media people that want it to make it out to be worse than it is and
yeah,
have nothing to
out there
and have nothing to back it up. All right. Well,
let's get Misha's.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's 8:36. 8:36. We got Misha Schneider hanging out backstage. Let's go ahead and give her our special pre-market prep welcome and see what Misha is thinking when we come back. Good morning, Misha Schneider. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Did we scare you off with that jobs number there with going up and going down? Did you feel like you were in the pit? Like offer, 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 offers. And then there's nothing like offers. And then you bid. And then all of a sudden the whole pit's bidding. I mean, there was some good price action in there.
That definitely was. I mean, this whole year has made people want to talk about the floor all the time, more so than usual. And I think it's because people realize that what is the number one lesson any person who worked on the floor will tell you is that it's all about price. And clearly that's been the theme of this year. But I do want to say for one second, happy International Women's Day. I don't know if it was just an accident, nice. But thank you for having me on this really great day.
Thanks for being here. So Misha, this market has been relentlessly higher in certain pockets and other pockets not participating. As of late, though, we're starting to see breadth starting to improve here. IWM trying to break out here. Is this going to turn into the catch-up market, or are we still going to ride NVIDIA's coattails?
Well, we already have seen that the market has broadened out beyond just NVIDIA. But, you know, clearly if NVIDIA all of a sudden took some massive drop, that would probably spook some of the rest of the market, but maybe not. I mean, at this point, I think people are like, oh, NVIDIA, whatever, you know, it just keeps going up and doesn't necessarily reflect what we're now starting to see is that regardless of what Powell says, the market has gotten used to rates. And we talked about this last time, this sort of level of normalization where inflation is sitting right now and the Fed funds rate. And as long as we don't have any watershed event like inflation spiking, which we could talk about because there are signs to look for, or some other massive geopolitical event or anything that looks like this economy that's starting to really improve is going to reverse and go into recession, and we have signs to look for that, you know, party on and look for, you mentioned, you know, if the economy is growing, what does that mean for the U.S.? Look at reshoring. You mentioned retail, right? I'm all about, and I've been talking about this too, I think last time with you guys, the whole idea of these diet drugs possibly revolutionizing how consumers will spend money. People who have been suffering from obesity their entire lives now maybe having a way to permanently lose that weight, get healthier. What does that mean? What do they all of a sudden start going out and buying to feel good about themselves? So yeah, this is where I think we're going, but that doesn't mean we can't sputter at some point. I mean, we're running rich, but again, price rules.
Well, Misha, do you have any specific names, I guess, that you're, you know, bullish on or bearish on right now? I mean, what are you watching?
Well, what's been really fantastic is that the theory that has been written about by O'Shaughnessy and so many others that momentum pays and that the outperformers continue to outperform has been the basis of all of our algorithmic models. And so we're in all these great tech stocks taking profits. And so that has, as from the discretionary side, really given me an idea of how I can blend out that portfolio. So what am I looking at? I've already been a buyer of silver, of miners, gold miners, of gold. And clearly those are starting to play catch up. I've been sitting in oil, but oil until it gets through this $80, $85 a barrel is not really necessarily all that interesting right here. So broadening out from that, I've started to look a little bit at China. I had bought Alibaba a couple of months ago, cheaper. It's not done very much yet, but at least it's not giving me any reason to stay up at night. And then I'm looking at this sort of vanity broadening out and what still is relatively undervalued. I mean, Novo Nordisk went crazy yesterday, so that's nosebleed territory. But I'm looking at things that might be sort of still undervalued, like a Coty, because we know that Elf went nuts already. Can Coty double? I think it's possible. You know, been looking at Estee Lauder. And then beyond that, I think solar energy, and then especially after the speech last night and what China's doing. I mean, China's really been on the forefront in terms of increasing its capacity for alt energy with solar and wind. So I've been looking at some of the solar stocks. All of a sudden, First Solar went from like 145 up to 161. So TAN, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm not going crazy because of how rich we are. And I want to make sure TLTs don't start really getting bid up. We got a signal in that. And that could mean, to me, mean trouble is in the horizon, but we don't see it yet.
Uh-oh, Joel. We got you on mute, man.
Oh, no.
What about Mr. Powell? What about Mr. Powell? What about rates? Well, I mean, steady for longer. I mean, where are you at on that? I mean, his testimony, I mean, people want to make a big deal of what he said over the last couple of days. To me, it's nothing new here. Really, no reason to go higher or lower. And I think stability is good for the market.
100%, Joel. I couldn't agree with you more. That's what we've been talking about for months and months now. Stop wishing for much lower rates. Because be careful what you wish for. That means we're in trouble. And that's why you have to watch these TLTs so carefully. They bottomed out at 92 and 102 has been the recent high. We start reaching up numbers over 100. And especially if we can't keep up with the SPY, like it sputters out. It doesn't even have to sell off. It just sputters around these levels. Or the junk bonds, which you know I love to watch. They start to underperform the long bonds. These are risk off signs. And until we really see that more than just a day, if we really start seeing that trending, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm not really crazy about jumping in except at anything except for commodities, because I believe they still are very undervalued. And I do believe still, I showed you that overlay chart. I don't know if you remember that last time from the 70s to now. And that's all it would take was Powell to say, you know what, let's lower the rates in June. Now he's saying potentially. And I think in the dollar falling and silver now starting to go up, I mean, we don't have food prices right now participating, but it doesn't have to be food driven. It can be commodities driven through metals, copper. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I think have the potential to the upside more than some of the other areas of the market that are so rich right now.
What about the financials? You think this NYCB thing, I've never seen a the street or investors like, oh, this touches zero, gets halted, $1.85. It's financing from Mnuchin, boom, opens up at 418. I mean, the market and the financials are just unfazed like this. It's like we have the situation and it's a one-off. It happens again to another bank and it's a one-off again. I mean, how long can this silver lining last in the bank? I mean, look at JP Morgan. I mean, at all time. Now, that's a lot different than the regional banks and stuff. Right. But I mean, when you see that kind of reaction, that kind of bad news, I mean, you just got to put the goggles on and just say blinders and just say, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, absolutely. And you know, the name of my Modern Family character that represents regional banks is Prodigal Son, right? There's a reason why I named him that, because they get bailed out every time. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So the bigger question to me is, let's look at commercial real estate, because that's been the big fright of so many pundits. I think, Aaron, you said in the beginning, you know, people love to sell the bad news because bad news sells. And in terms of the commercial real estate, there's already, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? So if there's all this empty building commercial real estate available, people are going to be buying that up cheaply to do something else with it, whether it's going to be more residential or a different experiential type of shopping or what have you. We don't know yet, but what we do know is that these are not going to turn into major ghost towns in this country because there's still a housing shortage. And that's kind of what I've been following. So getting back to these banks, if you look at KRE, I mean, that's really been such an interesting trader. It's been stuck between 45 and 50 for a long time, clearly underperforming everything else. And now it's peaking its head above 50. You start to see a rally in regional banks. Then again, you have to think about what does that mean? What is the implication if commercial real estate no longer is a concern? That's probably good for the economy and will create more jobs, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think you also said in the beginning, Aaron, no one wants to believe that this economy is good. So much of that is politically driven as well.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, and you know, to admit that maybe Biden has done a good job, and I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying, you know, you got to look at
the from an objective standpoint. The economy's doing better than people expected. I mean, there's nothing political about that statement, but people will make it out to be political. I hear you, Mish.
Yeah, I mean, and last night, I don't know if you watched the State of the Union, but the bar was so low. If he could stand up and string sentences together, you know, they didn't just let him out of the assisted living. I mean, you know, it's like...
right.
Let him out of assisted living.
So, that's it. Right, so there you go. I mean, and you know, and again, I take no sides there, but I'm watching what's going on. And so far... Like I said, here's the warning signs. If the TLTs continue to rally, if the junk bonds start to roll over, if the TLTs outperform them, outperform the SPY, we already have gold outperforming the SPY. If silver starts to outperform gold, these are the ifs, if then. But until those if thens happen, you know, keep, what I'd be, like I said, loading up here, maybe look at things that could emerge out of the potential of the fact that people start to feel a little bit more comfortable about our administration. We know what they like. We know what they want to throw money at. They want to throw money at reshoring. So companies like Intel could be something good, or GE, you know, the industrial manufacturing. We know they like alternative energy. Look at the solar. I mean, that's kind of what I'm doing. But again, with very, very controlled risk.
I got one more for you here, and it's kind of like a little light bulb went off in my head when you talked about the housing shortage and the commercial real estate buildings. Now, I know the government floated a proposal to do it. There's a lot, very expensive. I do have a little experience in that area, and it's very expensive on the conversions to do this, but are there, like, if you really see that trend coming, what companies would you, I mean, like, I don't, man, can Toll Brothers and these others, I haven't looked at the XHB, but, you know, who would you go to that perhaps could, you know, benefit from this major change in the housing trend?
Well, by the way, you mentioned XHB. So in our trend strength ranking that we do with our quants in the sector model, XHB has been number two behind semiconductors. So it's done phenomenally well, which is another thing that you don't hear very many people talk about. Home builders. Yeah, so look in the basket of XHB. So that's where you might find your Toll and your Lennar or some of the other smaller companies. But that's what I would do right now. Or, you know, look, yeah, you just put up the chart, right? So I haven't looked at the chart lately, but look at the new highs on the daily.
We got it. Yeah, I just looked at it. Yep.
So the question is, okay, so what would you want to see at this point? Maybe some kind of a dip, a little bit, or you get in right here and you say the last swing low, you have those three red bars before we saw the new high. Maybe you put a stop under that last swing low and you go, okay, this thing can keep rocking.
Come and get me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's think the NVIDIA principle. Everybody thought it topped at 500, then at 700, then at 800. Now it's what, 900 and something I just saw on my screen? 952 or 962? I don't have my glasses.
952.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, you know, 1,000, here we come. Same thing with home builders. What could it do? What could this stuff do? And like I said, when the idea of obesity. I mean, you already have major stars talking about it, like Oprah Winfrey. And then I happened to be home with my mom the other day. She was watching Ricky Lake. She's just lost a lot of weight because of these drugs. This goes mainstream, and now you've got a new boost to the economy on, I keep calling it the vanity trade, okay? Because I can go out now. I don't feel like I'm just, you know, useless, obese, and have to stay home all the time and keep eating. It will reverse a lot, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for people who have suffered from obesity their whole life.
Well, Mish Schneider, thanks for hopping on this morning. This has been an awesome discussion. Thanks for taking my back there too when the chat was coming after me. Happy International Women's Day as well to you, Mish, and everyone, all the women in our chat this morning. So enjoy the rest of your Friday and have a great weekend.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you again soon.
That's great, Mish. Thank you. Yeah, that might be that might go up there with like maybe one of the top five, one top 10 all-time comments on pre-market prep there.
Assisted living.
I laughed out loud.
That was not very professional.
Was not nice.
We're going to be more professional on the show.
No, she makes
this is the prep. She made such a good point, though. Like, the expectations for that State of the Union address were like as low. We talk about expectations in the stock market. Those expectations for that State of the Union address were as low as they could possibly be. And I'm like, he's coming on. He's putting sentences together. He looks like he's not dying tomorrow. I mean, let's go.
Yeah, I told you guys before we hopped on, like, I was very skeptical if he was going to make it, be able to run and all this stuff. And after watching last night, I'm like, oh, yeah, he seems all right. He seems okay.
He's good.
And it's like,
good to go.
That's the opposition's fault by bringing that bar so low that they, you know. all right, well, let's get off the politics. Bit. I don't want to upset anyone in the chat that I already have this morning.
Get used to it.
We've kind of gone basically the whole show without talking about NVIDIA. Should we try to go a whole episode without talking about NVIDIA, or
we're gonna talk about it because I did some calculations here, and people, just for fun here. So Apple's market cap, and again, this was done before the jobs numbers, so this is a moving target here. It was 2.62 trillion at the close, which is 169. And NVIDIA's close, I believe, was 2.38. So doing the math, and then I just looked at the shares outstanding and doing all that. If Apple was 169, let's just say hypothetical world, Apple's at 169, NVIDIA would have to get to $1,051 to pass Apple in market cap. So right now, at this moment in time, NVIDIA's only 100 points behind NVIDIA, behind Apple in overall market cap here. Obviously, if Apple starts running up, then that bar is going to go higher. But, I mean, we've run a long ways giving this perspective here. NVIDIA just ran up $100 in the last three sessions. Is it possible that NVIDIA is going to catch Apple here in the next foreseeable future? It's possible. 1051 is your number, folks.
Yeah, we were talking on the closing print, and I think you said that, I don't know, Apple was either, it was up like 20 cents or something, and a very small percentage, and the SPY was way up. You're like, wow, Apple's having a great day. And that's the truth. I mean, falling out of favor, we'll just do a quick technical, I mean, NVIDIA, We're going to have an episode of where should Dennis sell his NVIDIA, but he's sticking with the 1,000. Boy, I don't know if there's any optionality at 950 today, so maybe a little tug of war there. But
If I'm going to sell it at 1,000 now. I've had so much seller's remorse from the SMCI that I'm like, I don't want to have the seller's remorse.
At 1,000 too. So you have that, you know. It's
like, it was my target. I've said it multiple times, 600, 700, 800. I was like, I think this could go to 1,000. I mean, we're 953. So we're getting close to where my initial target was when I created the NASA. So Aaron, when do I sell?
NVIDIA?
Yeah, never.
Yeah,
just, I mean, HODL.
This is your long-term portfolio.
Yeah, HODL.
Like, yeah.
Long-term, but long-term portfolios, you want your stock to double every 5 to 7 years if you're really, you know, going with market returns. This is doubling in 5 to 7 weeks. A little bit. So I have struggled with so much so fast. I'm not going to sell it all. If I sell some NVIDIA, it will just be like a portion.
Where are you
going to
put it?
I will
not
sell it
all. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
Exactly. I don't know. Where do you go? Well, maybe you got to move into all this small cap stuff. I'm bullish to small caps. I've been buying IWM on pullbacks here. Because you know why IWM more than I don't know the small cap market well enough to like say this is the stock or this is the stock. So almost like when I'm playing small caps and mid caps, you know, there's obviously some mid caps in the IWM too, mostly small caps. I just buy in the blanket of them because I don't follow the companies close enough to really make market calls on these. Where, you know, when the mega caps, we follow these stocks closely. We trade these every day. You know, I specialize in trading these stocks, so I feel like I have a better feel for them. But I feel like there is going to be a small cap catch-up trade. It's happening here today again. They wanted it to go. I mean, you could see even on the dip here today on the jobs number here, Joel, they wanted to buy them. You know, like you could just feel like, you know, it dipped IWM. It felt like for a split second, it dipped on the initial number. And then they just came in with their buying shoes on. Like you may not even notice that it did. We went down almost a buck on the IWM that print.
Yeah. I was.
And now we just rallied 3.5 from that low.
I was hoping for just a tad lower in the S&P's 41.5. And it didn't quite get there because, I mean, it just seems like, whatever, we talked about this before the number, like a good news is good news, bad news is good news, no news is good news. And that is the market environment that we're in. If you don't like it, well, I'm sorry. That's the way it is. And until something changes, you have to go with what's been working and what's been going on in the markets. We are just hit new highs here, up 14.5 handles heading into the open. IWM taught forever about holding that 203, that 50% retracement. I mean, a catch-up trade. I have the weekly here. You got the major support. You're breaking out here. Boom. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, can you imagine if this thing goes back to all-time highs? That's
where is the all-time high? Let's look. $244.46.
Yeah.
So the question is, you know, $30, it's up 15% from this point in time. It's not out of the realm of possibility because we are inevitably going to go into an environment where rates are going to start going lower. And that is fantastic for IWM, for solar, regional banks, everything that has been depressed in the last couple of years will start to look a little bit more perky when rates start to actually go down. These companies' fundamentals will get better. Obviously, a lot of these companies borrow money. Those that financing costs are going to become cheaper. I mean, we're set up. You know, if we're just looking, you know, at the economy and we're just looking, you know, at, you know, where Powell stands and where the Fed stands, all the ducks are kind of in a row for the small caps to play a catch-up trade here. You know, tech, everybody's been hiding in tech, has been working. We know this market likes to punish the maximum of participants. I feel like taking a little bit of my tech profits and dumping it into, you know, some of the more interest rate sensitive plays, let's say.
Dennis, I was going to go back to your question about when do you sell NVIDIA? I think whenever Jensen Huang is gone is when you can sell. So as long as he's there, which I don't think he's that old. I mean, he's probably like in his, I'm going to look it up.
No, he's not old, I don't think, at all. Jensen Huang.
He's 61, but he looks young. He's young.
Yeah, 61,
He's a young 61.
He's stylish too. The leather jackets and stuff. Like, you know, I like that guy.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Kramer called him the GOAT.
I think so.
You know what? Maybe we should go after him. We've tried 100 times to get Lisa Su on our show, and because I want to find out if it's the same Lisa Su that I worked with on the floor in the late 80s and 90s.
Bring her on.
She won't come on.
Did you
ask? I emailed her, Zoltan, does anybody have any connections at AMD?
Lisa Su here.
She doesn't
even have to come on the show. I'm a huge fan. I've been saying the reason that I stay long AMD with a 54 PE is because of Lisa Su. Lisa Su, and we know you're not listening, but if you were listening, we love you, Lisa Su. Please come on the show.
She doesn't like me.
And we love you.
I gotta admit it. She doesn't like Joel. She doesn't.
Joel, you picked on her in high school.
No, not high school, Dennis. I've said the story 100 times. It was on the floor. On the floor at the Merck.
Sorry.
And she was on the floor at the Board of Trade.
It's not the same.
Quoting the She went to MIT. So did this Lisa Su. I'm telling you, Zoltan has reached out to her. I don't even care if she comes on the show or not. I just want to know.
Did you never Google to see if she was a floor trader?
No.
She wasn't a trader. She clerked. It's not on there. I looked, and she didn't want to.
But
put
there
it
is
on
a
there.
Lisa Sue that I'm just Googling right now, so I did not know this. There's a Lisa Sue that works. It looks like for Citadel on Floor Trader. I think that's your Lisa Sue.
There is a gap on Wikipedia.
Yeah, there is. No, there's a Lisa Sue that works for Citadel. It looks like here, Citadel Securities, Dr. Lisa Sue, Chair. No, that's the same Lisa Sue. Sorry, that's Lisa Sue of AMD.
So there's some kind of trading.
You think Lisa Sue was on the floor with you? We got to find this out.
You know what, Dennis? Dennis, are you ready for this?
Yes.
I'll bet you $1,000.
You think it's the same Lisa Sue?
I don't think it is, Joel. There's no way.
I can make $1,000.
Yeah,
come
do
on.
It. Do it, Dennis.
Give me, Chad,
do
help
it.
Me out here.
Going once.
My head is dead. Chad's going to say, yes. I'm like, no, thank you.
She went to MIT.
I think it's just crazy. You think
I think either what we should bring.
Why would I make this up? Why would
I'm sure there was a person named Lisa Sue. I'm arguing that it's not the same Lisa Sue.
They went to MIT because the one that worked with me went to MIT. And she went to MIT.
Did you have conversations with her and stuff, or you just knew
I worked with her every day for a couple, like she was a summer intern.
Does she look like that same person?
Yes.
So you got the connection here.
I don't. She won't. I email her. I Twitter. I'm not betting. I had Zoltan reach out. She didn't. Obviously, she didn't like me very much.
She didn't like you back then. Were you picking on her? You worked with her. Did you pick on her? Did you pick on Lisa Sue?
I pick on everybody I work with. Don't you know that? That's why we're on our fifth producer in less than 10 years. Like, no one can work with me except for you, Dennis. And the only reason is because you're just as obnoxious as I am.
No, you used to pick on me. Remember when I was a little young buck coming in? We're going to storytelling time here. I started at Bright Trading in 1999. I was a 22-year-old kid just coming out of college. You know, with the big chip on my shoulders, and I'd be over there and I'd lose on a trade and I'd be cussing and swearing and Joel, Matt's mom she was like 60 in there and I was like using bad words and Joel comes over and smacks me. It's like, can't you see?
We got
a nice lady in the room and you're using cussing words. You cut and see, I'm good now. I don't cuss now. So you knocked that right out of me. Joel used to pick on me, folks. He used to pick on me.
All right, listen. We're over the clock here. I just want to tell you, we got a big week of guests coming up next week. We got our man Blue Putnam, former director of economics at the CME, coming on. He's been spot on with inflation. Of course, we got T3 Tuesday coming up on Tuesday. None other than Tim Seymour. On Wednesday, we love having Tim on.
We love Tim.
We could talk some hockey. Mark Chaykin. Yep. Bacon with Chaykin on Thursday. And then Friday, Quad Widge, folks. And who else to have better person to have on? Our top options trader, our top options expert, CC Legator, coming on next Friday. Jot that down.
What a lineup. Good
and
job,
Lisa
Joel.
Sue making a guest appearance potentially.
Which one?
Dennis, you reach out.
All right. Well, guys, we got live trading starting up in a few minutes. Make sure to stay tuned. This stream will redirect you there. Happy Friday and have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday.